Hey, we motivating the nation, gonna set the foundation, spreading positive knowledge, the crucial conversation. All rise for the wheel ride, drink and show, let's go.
Oh, welcome back to Crucial Conversations with Will Rodriguez. Today, I got a very, very special guest. This person, I've been following her for about, I would say 4 years since I started being more active on LinkedIn. Since then, I've seen her just be very, very intentional when it comes down to connections, building up good connections out there in the real estate world. And I want to have her on just so you guys could get some value. Esther, thank you so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. And Esther, for those that don't know you, tell us more about you and your story.
My name is Esther Rises Lombine. I am a speech-language pathologist, currently not practicing. Still have my license, though. I keep it up. About 7 years now, I decided to pivot and go into real estate. As an extrovert, I was not doing well as a speech therapist. I wasn't feeling fulfilled. And I loved it. I loved working with clients, but there was something in me that wanted something more. And for other reasons, I had moved at the time, and I had a child that was born with some medical issues, exactly what I had studied for as a speech-language pathologist. And for several of those reasons and others, I decided to pivot into real estate. I got my license. I started as a realtor in the space, started transacting initially locally where I lived, and I knew right away that I belonged in the commercial space. Started transacting commercial real estate, did some transactions. I had one client that had asked me to help him find equity. And so I figured I made a commission and why not do him a favor? So I said, sure, I'll help you find equity, or I'll try, whatever I said then. Anyways, I was successful in finding him an equity partner, and that kind of threw me into the equity game. So I started connecting co-GPs and JVs. I then decided to take on the challenge of starting my own private equity fund, which I successfully did and raised from limited partners through the fund. And I've been doing that ever since. So that's my short journey.
Oh, man, so much. I want to actually take it back to the beginning. You said you were doing something, but you didn't feel fulfilled because you are an extrovert. So you decided to pivot. Why did you decide to pivot if you're already doing something that, you know, you went to school for, I'm sure, but you are making a difference per se?
That's a good question. Yes, I went to school, a very expensive school. I have to even ask my husband for still paying the tuition. Like, we did it like very slowly. Pricey, yes. And I sat in college for, what is it, like over 6 years with some summers. And then I went back to do my bilingual extension. So that was another half a year. I put in a lot of time, effort, and energy into it, and a lot of money into getting my degree, which I worked with for about 10 years. So I did make good use of it. Do I have any regrets? No, you know, everyone has to do in life what fulfills them at that time. Different things serve different individuals at different times. I really enjoyed working with the students. I still keep up with some of them and I'm watching them grow. It's amazing to see. But for me, working in a small environment was just kind of stifling for me. I worked in a school setting most of the time, so it's like one-on-one. And it was nice to see children start speaking and improve their pragmatic, receptive, and expressive language skills. You know, it was nice, and that part was fulfilling and exciting. But overall, I felt like I needed a more extroverted experience in my workspace. So also, I had moved at the time from Brooklyn to Rockland County, and the system is very different in Brooklyn. I was working in one school back-to-back cases. Over here in Rockland, at the time when I had just moved, I had to find random cases all over. So it was a lot of driving, and I just was not up for that. So I tried to, I figured, what can I do that I don't have to go back to school for that I would enjoy? Real estate, right? I just had to take a 70, 72 hour course. And here I am.
So good. So powerful. So whenever you're already processing, making a pivot, right, knowing that you study, you went to school for, 6 years, and you were in your career for 10 years, how did you struggle at all, and how did you process that transition?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, definitely, any change in any degree or any field is a big difference. You have to know what you're talking about, especially in commercial real estate. So what I feel like the difference between residential and commercial, you're kind of selling yourself. Commercial, you got to know what you're talking about. So I had to quickly learn all the terms and learn everything about real estate, which I knew absolutely nothing about before, in order to deal with professionals, because everyone in commercial real estate is doing it for investment purposes, unless they're an end user, they have their own business. But it's business related purposes, not their primary home that they're living in. So, you have to play the big boys game and speak their language. So yes, I had to quickly learn all the lingo and learn all the assets and, what everything entails and the different markets and pretty much like a basic underwriting course. I had to get a quick background in it very quickly. So yes, I started learning, and I am still learning, and I don't stop learning. Yeah. There's so much to know. I try to attend as many classes as I can. So if I'm not dealing with my children, or I'm not learning, I'm transacting, or just keeping busy constantly. There's so much, never enough time. Thank God.
That's true. That's true. And just to land a plane on the last thing we were talking about, what is something that you could give to our audience that may be in a career where they, went to school 5, 10, 20 years, or not 20 years, but like, let's say 5, 10 years, and they're doing that, but that doesn't align with them no more. What advice would you give them?
So first of all, I don't regret it, because I always have a plan B. Like if I always had to fall back onto it, I would do it. And here and there, I even kind of like miss it. So maybe I was thinking recently of taking on a case or two just for the fun of it. so like, I don't regret it. And I also learned so much. But I always say, as long as it serves you at the time and it serves your family and you can financially handle it, then go for it. If it's something that you want to do, it's a switch that works for you and for everyone around you and your immediate surroundings, then do it. You only live once. You have to try things out, right? You wouldn't know if you don't try. But it is hard. You put so much time and effort and money into it. You want to make sure you're making the right decision. But it is always good also to have a backup, a plan B.
So good. So good. If you guys felt that, hit that like button or put in a comment like, that was good. Thank you so much, Esther. And by the way, I was going to actually give you a compliment. Your name, very powerful. I'm not sure if our audience have ever read the Book of Esther, but if you guys have not, checked that one out. I'm sure you read the Book of Esther, right, Esther?
Of course, Queen Esther. Okay.
But if you have not, checked that book out. Yeah, for sure.
We have the holiday of Purim. So the last holiday of Purim, my kids made me dress up as Queen Esther. And they were Queen Esther's security. So they dressed themselves up as security guards, and they made me queen. So yes, we read the book. My kids know it very
well.
Wow,
that's so cool.
It was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's so cool. Sounds like a lot of fun. You have some pictures, you said?
Yeah, you can go check out those pictures on Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. And we'll drop our Instagram, LinkedIn, everything after this. So the viewers are definitely going to check out the pictures. So cool. So you said you transitioned to commercial. Obviously, that's different than residential. Obviously, there's different tactics as well from residential to commercial. I personally haven't seen anyone do like TikToks like I see on for the residential side. I'm sure that some of those tactics don't work for commercial because, like you said, you have to know your numbers. You have to really do a due diligence. So it's a little bit different, right? And why did you decide to focus on commercial opposed to residential? Because from what I hear, that's like the way in. Do residential, be there for a while, 5, 10 years, whatever, build those connections, get some
Yeah.
transactions under your belt, and then make the pivot. Again, I'm not in real estate like you are, but I heard people say that. But what is your take
Well,
on that?
that's exactly what my broker told me. She's like, you have to start
Oh.
residential first. So I said, no, I actually know that I'm fit for commercial. I said, I want to start there. She's like, no, start residential. So I said, you know what? Fine. I'll start. I don't mind going to see nice houses. I don't mind getting to meet people. But it got too much really quickly. Like, there was one client that I showed 50 houses to and still didn't decide. I was like, have a good day.
50 houses?
50 houses. And you don't get paid for all those showings. You only get paid if the deal goes through, right? Well, that's all of real estate. But commercial real estate is more matter of fact versus emotion. So it's like, do the numbers work for you? Does the asset, does the location, does the price tag work? Yes, no, move on. Residential, it's like, do I like those bathroom tiles? Back and forth, and they bring their mother and their aunt and everyone to come see the house 7 times. I was like, just leave me alone. Have a good day. I'm like more of a matter of fact person. So yeah, I'm sure, there are so many realtors that do well in residential. And I don't know about TikTok. I've yet to download TikTok, actually. I get to see some stuff, people forward them, but I haven't yet downloaded TikTok. So I'm sure people can be creative in commercial real estate and make some fun stuff too. But maybe, my next lifetime, I don't know. Or maybe I'll hire someone for that. But I'm sure you can get creative there. But that's the fundamental difference between residential and commercial. Residential is more, it's your primary home, so it's more emotionally based. Commercial is, it's not supposed to be emotionally based at all. It's supposed to be more matter of fact.
Man, you have such an interesting story. You talked about pivoting. Obviously, you did some residential, but you knew that you needed to be in commercial. Your broker said, or let's call this person a mentor, right? Well, people will consider a mentor, right? Said, no, do something else. You in your heart knew that you wanted to be in commercial. So walk me through how that was, because I'm assuming that in commercial, especially the type of transactions that you're doing, you really need to know exactly what you're doing, what you're talking about.
Yes.
And you know, be able to build trust with people that are essentially they're investors, right? People that want to deploy capital to invest in property. So how were you able to build trust and make those that pivot?
Well, I'd like to consider myself a trustworthy person, but I understand that I have to prove myself to investors. So I tried to be as transparent as possible, and for that reason, I started a deal by deal fund where I was raising per deal, where the investors got to see all the information on a per deal level. My goal eventually is to open a blind pool fund where the investors will totally trust me and say, hey, here's my money. Go ahead and do as you think with it. But I do understand that I need to build up that rapport with individuals. And when I raise money from individuals, I especially if it's LP investors, I always vet the opportunity, vet the sponsor, do my due diligence, and then I also put my own money in alongside them. So I'm showing them that I like the deal enough to put my own money in with you. So I think that's I put my money where my mouth is. So that's
Wow, literally, yeah.
that.
So powerful.
That can prove my trustworthiness, hopefully.
Oh man, so good. So obviously there's nothing wrong with financial advisors. There's time and place, you know, to seek counsel. But what I see in financial services is financial advisors recommending, right, certain investments that they themselves are probably not doing, right? In your expertise and what you're doing is different, because you're like, hey, here's a good deal. I'm actually putting money out of my own pocket in this deal because I actually believe in the deal, right? So yeah. Are you raising capital just from a select number of people, or do you leave it open at the time, or?
Well, it depends. So it's a deal by deal situation. So what I've done so far is deal by deal. And so we only had to raise a certain amount of money for that specific deal. But what I do, I haven't raised LP money in 2 years since the market mm-hmm. went, you know, since interest rates started climbing because it was too rocky. And then all the situations at the banks. I felt like a lot of investors stopped putting money into real estate. Many did. Many are still placing equity. But the market did take a shift. And also the interest rates are much higher. And it is harder to find solid opportunities. So for that reason, I took a break from raising from limited partners. I connect mm-hmm. co-GPs and JVs, where I partner people up directly. I connect GPs. So in that case, you know, I'm not fully taking responsibility because they're both coming in as general partners and each of them have an active say in the deal. And it's a totally different situation. So unless I have a solid, solid opportunity, I'm not going to go ahead and raise from limited partners.
Hmm. So good. So good. And I was going to ask you, what skills do you believe are essential for success in your industry?
Well, like you said, trustworthiness is a really big one. Knowing your information is a big one. Staying on top of, you know, the market, the news, the current events is vital to, you know, just to know what's going on in every sector. Like, we know what's going on right now. And the office market is a little more difficult than, say, mm-hmm. mobile home parks or gas stations right now. Gas stations is the hype, or, you know, even retail is doing pretty well. Multifamilies, mm-hmm. conventional multifamily is difficult to raise for, extremely difficult. Having more success raising for HUD deals, like project-based affordable housing deals. So it's really knowing, you know, the market, knowing what your investors want, just staying on top of everything and understanding the whole, you know, situation with the debt, what's going on there. And bottom line is, you know, every deal is its own story, and every single deal has to work. Every deal has, you know, they have it has its own debt, has its own equity, has its own location, has its own mm-hmm. tenants. So every deal is its own story. So you kind of have to like study that opportunity individually. And there are no two deals. There are no two deals that are alike, essentially. So it's pretty much mm-hmm. just being on top of all the details in that specific opportunity.
Oh, that's so good. So good. And I was actually going to ask you, are there any mentors or role models who have significantly influenced your career?
That is a really good question. So I got into real estate totally on my own. I don't like the term self-made because, you know, it's God. But technically, I taught myself everything without having a mentor. No one inspired me to go into this field. It was totally on my own doing. And I just started learning and, you know, picking up everything that I saw or every class. I started attending as much, you know, educational classes as possible and started like Googling and listening to tons of podcasts and learning as much as possible. So that kind of was like just my own initiative. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of driven. So I have that in me. But there are some great people in the industry that I just, you know, started looking up to and started like, you know, listening to their podcasts, like Yona Weiss. And then I had a client that was super significant in my journey. You know, he realized that I'm really trying hard and you know, I'm successful in doing certain things. So he kind of took me under his wings and he's like, you know, any question you have, come, I'll answer, you know, I'll help you. I'll answer any question. So that's been helpful in the last like a year or so. It's been nice to have someone to bounce questions off. Yeah, but otherwise, like, you know, I just observe and I observe everyone. I'm very active on LinkedIn and I try to soak up as much info being shared as possible.
So essentially you never stop going to school, right? You just transition from paid tuition to now getting a lot of information by networking, by listening to podcasts, by reading books. That is amazing. And were you always driven, or I would say the better question, what drives you?
I'm pretty self-driven. I get it from my mother. So she has this, you know, But yes, I have, I get it from my mother. We're both very extremely driven, just, you know, to keep moving, to succeed. We're not just sitting there. We're not lazy. So, maybe I have, I don't know. I self-diagnosed ADHD. I don't know. Maybe you want to call that, but, I'm like, nonstop. I don't waste a minute.
Oh, so good. It reminds me of, I think it was Proverbs talks about, being faithful with the small, probably different, but anyways, being faithful with the small, for me, it means that I need to be faithful with everything that I've been given, which is every minute, every opportunity, every connection, everything that's in front of me. Just, are you faithful with the small? And if you are going to be entrusted with more, yeah, that's what comes to mind when you're telling me that. So, like so powerful.
To be intentional about.
Yes. And what is something that that people don't know about you that you want to share publicly?
I have something brewing that I can't just share yet.
Okay.
So everyone stay tuned. I have something that I'm working on that's pretty exciting. I'm waiting for the right opportunity to share. I think I just want to finish the next stage.
Yes.
But what do people, I mean, people know that I have a bunch of children. I raise money and I raise kids.
How many kids do you have?
I have 8 children. So that kind of shocks people at times.
8 children.
8 children.
My goal is to have 5. My wife, after 3, she's like, I'm done. But I want to keep going. Maybe I need to connect with my wife so you could have a talk with her. So cool.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Are now between the ages of 5.5 to 18. I have 4 boys and 4 girls. Something really cool about the pattern. I have 2 boys, then 2 girls, then 2 boys, then 2 girls.
Oh, wow. Order. That's so cool.
Yeah. So a lot of people know that already because I talk so much. But if you didn't, that's something you might not know about me.
Cool. And I was going to ask you, how do you balance your personal life and professional life?
So the right word I like to use is it's more of a juggle. You know, some, when you juggle, some balls go up, some go down. So you drop some, you win some. So that's pretty much it. I can't, obviously I'm not perfect at all. I struggle sometimes to get back to clients on time. Sometimes like there's some days that I just don't work because I'm busy driving to the doctor, or driving my kids to the doctor, or going to a school thing, or just dealing with something else that I'm not working that day, but I'll always like catch up, you know, either at night or, you know, whenever I can. So it is difficult. Like sometimes people can get annoyed that I'm not so responsive to all the messages, and I get it. It is annoying, but I have no choice. My kids always come first. They're my priority, and it's also like I have like shifts of help in my house, so sometimes it's more difficult than others. I try to get as much help as possible so I can focus on, you know, where I am needed most. So that's a brand I try to delegate where I can. But that's also a lot of training and teaching. It's never ending. Thank God.
No.
It's a nice job.
So, no, I bet. I bet. So what's harder, being a mom or being an entrepreneur?
Depends on the day.
Such a great answer.
Yeah. Well, today,
it depends on what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Nowadays, real estate is extremely difficult. Anyone that says otherwise, you know, it's not true. Right now, it's difficult. The market's difficult. There are less transactions happening. It's harder to source equity. So sometimes I feel like I'm working, and achieving like a fraction of the results I was achieving just 2 years ago. So that's extremely difficult nowadays. It's almost like getting to me. But I still keep on going because, you know, that's who I am. And I keep on trying and trying no matter what. But so now the market's difficult. Raising children, especially as they become teenagers, is not easy either. So I feel like nothing's easy. You just got to ride with the tide.
And are you a person that has like a big vision? Are you more driven by mission, purpose? Obviously not driven by money, right? But tell me, like, how do you push forward? Mission driven or more like big picture type of person?
That's a good question. Well, I do like money, so I do like, that's something that we are all working for, technically.
Right.
I mean, I do enjoy the job too. That's why I left my other job and I'm doing this. And also, the more money I make, the more I can help others with charity. So that's also a drive for me to help, be able to help others. I like giving back as much as possible. So the more money I make, the more I can help the next person. That's a huge one for me. Yes, I do have some large goals that I'm trying to achieve, but I don't have a number or a percentage or a timeline. I always say, you know, imagine if I would have said I would like to do 5 deals within X amount of years. You know, I wasn't doing real estate just 7 years ago, so who knows where I'll be in the next 7 years. I don't, you know, I like to work hard and see what happens. I don't like to quantify it.
Awesome. Awesome.
I try to enjoy the process.
And
try to enjoy the process.
Yes. That's so good. So good. I struggled with enjoying the process for a very long time just because I was so caught up on the wins, the deals, the business. And I could be, you know, I was like in my, in a dinner table, there with my family. And I was just thinking, like, zoned out. And then my wife was like, "You're zoned out. Like, snap out of it." I'm like, "Hey, I'm here. I'm here." And my daughter too caught me a few times. "Hey, snap out of it." I'm like, "Oh, sorry." So right now I'm actually a little more intentional and spending time with the family and being present. Yeah. So right now I'm doing the podcast. I'm all here. When I go and spend time with my family, I'm going to be all there. And I try my best to do that because you have to just enjoy the present. Because if you're so caught up in getting the next deal, getting the next, the business, you're not going to be fulfilled, I would say. Right. And when that big win does happen or it doesn't, right, it's not going to be a moment where you're 100% satisfied.
Right.
You're probably going to be happy for a while, right? But not satisfied. So,
yeah,
Esther, thank you so much for coming on the show. How can people connect with you? And do you have like LinkedIn?
I am on LinkedIn. And
can you repeat that one more time?
Online, on Instagram, on Facebook. I'm not yet on Twitter. I'm not yet on TikTok. I am on Twitter. Esther Rises Lowenvine or SD Lowenvine, either one of those two. Twitter, I'm trying to actually increase my following and working on it. Instagram, Facebook,
okay,
LinkedIn. Is that it? I think.
Website, so, yeah. Unless you have a Pinterest.
No.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
No Pinterest. So Before I let you go, what is something that you could give to our audience? Maybe some advice. Maybe they are trying to get started in real estate. Maybe trying to make a transition, or they're trying to maybe raise equity, maybe take their game to the next level. What is something they give to them?
First of all, I love what you said about being present. That is something I struggle with. So you said it really well. It's the ideal, you know, way to be. And also to enjoy, like I said, to enjoy the journey as much as possible, because it's hard. It's easier said than done. But I was working so hard the last few months, and I had like six deals fall through. And some of them, you know, after working on them for months, one of them I worked on for 9 months, and then like on the last minute it fell through. So yeah, it's disheartening. When I, at the beginning, when things like that would happen, I would get very upset very quickly. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, yes, it hurts. I have like the 5 minute rule. You could be upset about it for 5 minutes, and then you got to pick yourself up, brush yourself off, and move on. So that's an important lesson in this business, because everything in this business is sort of success based. Whether you're a realtor, investor, or a capital raiser, you only make a profit or make a commission if the deal goes through. So if you are considering joining this field in any way, as a realtor, as a broker, as a debt broker, as a capital raiser, number one, make sure it works for you and your family. Don't count on the money. Make sure you have another source of income, because you can work on deals for months and months and not make a penny. So as long as you're financially able to get into this field, then by all means, go ahead. And just know, without no sugarcoating, it's tough out there. First of all, there's a lot of competition. There's so much to know. You know, it's, but at the end of the day, it's all God, and it's all in Hebrew we say mazel. It's all success. It's all luck. That's the right word. And just have a lot of faith in God that He will provide, and that you're doing the right thing. So keep at it, and you can't be lazy in this field. So take that into account.
Ooh, mic drop. Esther, thank you so much for coming on the show. You're definitely going to have to come back for sure, hands down. So thank you so much. Again, guys, if you have not subscribed, be sure to do that. Like, comment. I think I covered everything. Follow, share. I forgot, share. And yeah, with that being said, keep fighting the good fight. Stay in prayer. Stay dangerous. Till next time. Boom.